Hello, welcome to Pathways, where you're invited to join us for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is Renee Beth Poindexter, and today I'm doing something really different. I, as you know, have been the guest host, always sitting in for Paul O'Brien, but today I am interviewing the Paul O'Brien. Actually, I'm so excited to have him with us today. And one of the things that you might not know, since you listen to Paul quite a bit on this show, is the true story about Paul O'Brien, the true trajectory of his life. Did you know that he's an entrepreneurial strategist, that he's a philosopher and a raconteur who invented divination software and created the world's largest astrology and divination e-commerce business? Actually, he is a sought-after advisor. He interviews subjects and speakers as well as the author. He's the author of several books, one of them being The Visionary I Ching, A Book of Changes for the 21st Century, and the Visionary I Ching app for smartphones. He's the executive director of Divination Foundation. And for the past 35 years, he has hosted Pathways Radio. As you know, this is the interview program focused on personal and cultural transformation, personal development and cultural evolution, actually. And these podcasts are at divination.com and iTunes. So, Paul, I'm so excited to be with you today, actually celebrating 35 years with this amazing radio show. How are you doing today?
I must be getting old. I must have started this thing when I was 14. That's my story, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Renee. Well, but thank you very much. It's weird to be on this side of the microphone after being the host for 35 years. And I'm really proud that we've lasted that long. And I'm very gratified that you are helping out. And this is going to be fun.
Absolutely. Well, 35 years, it probably went by in a blip, you know, being a host of this amazing show. And 35 years is quite a milestone. How did you come to even host the show, this amazing show on personal development and cultural transformation? How did it all come to be?
Well, you know, Pathways is one of the older shows on KBOO FM. It started in the 70s, and it was taken over by a fellow named Tom Park, who I met in 1979 in a men's group. And I had listened to the show and I thought, wow, I just really liked the whole idea of it. And interviewing appealed to me. I thought I might have a talent for it. And I told Tom, I said, hey, if you ever need any help with the show in terms of like a partner to co-host with you, let me know, because I think I would be good at it. And he said, I think you would be good at it too. I'll keep that in mind. And then a year later, he called me up and said, hey, remember we had that conversation? I said, yeah. He said, you still up for that? And I said, yeah. And so that's how it started. And so Tom and I were the co-hosts 50-50 for 25 years until he decided to retire. And so since then, I've been the only host, but I get help from talented people like yourself.
Oh, well, I was honored when you asked me to be a guest host with you.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
Including your choice of guests, today's show.
Oh, yeah. The one and only Paul O'Brien. Well, Paul, tell us about Pathways KBOO broadcast relationship and also your podcast versions of Pathways.
Yeah, Pathways is a show on KBOO. Like I said, it's been around for almost 40 years. And it's broadcast across Oregon, Southern Washington, and of course the Portland metro area on KBOO FM. But it's also now available in the form of streaming through the website kboo.fm or through my nonprofit's website, divination.com. So we've taken this broadcast show, which is a half-hour format, and turned it into a podcast that's available through iTunes and other podcast servers.
Fantastic. Well, I know people remark about this show, and many of them are using it as part of their own personal development. and then groups of people are also using it to really evolve the culture. You know, we are evolving as a species.
So yeah, the podcast version extends the reach of the show so that people can go to divination.com and listen to any one of the last 500 interviews I've done.
Absolutely.
And it's described what it's about and everything. So it's a really kind of a nice extension and a useful way to go.
Wonderful. Well, I know that, you know, wherever you go, there you are. I mean, your own journey has been one of profound personal transformation. Did it all begin with the synchronicity, I Ching, and AOL? Or tell us that story.
Okay. Well, it all began when I was 3 years old, and I think the first word that I ever uttered was why.
Of course.
Been a philosopher in that sense, an amateur philosopher my whole life. I've always been fascinated by the meaning of things and intensely curious. I'd say my single most driving motivational factor is curiosity. Now, I'm a Gemini. I have a lot of planets in Gemini, so that just totally makes sense. But so it kind of all started. I've been a seeker for meaning my whole life. And I've always been very spiritually oriented, but I've always been very interested in psychology and human relations. So that has been a lifelong quest. I got into the I Ching when I was 19, and I was a student at UC Berkeley and a student of the martial arts, and I was very attracted to Eastern metaphysics, the Eastern philosophy, particularly Taoism and Buddhism. And the I Ching is one of the great classics of Taoism. But I was introduced to it by a co-ed at Berkeley, who I thought was kind of cute, so I was I was very interested in anything she wanted to show me. And she was showing me the I Ching, this book. You cast these coins, and it gives you a reflection on a moment in time. It gives you a reflection relative to something that's on your mind when you're tossing the coins via the synchronicity principle. In other words, the idea that there are no accidents and that the coins turn up the way they're supposed to turn up that minute to reflect your energy, etc. So I thought, oh my God, you know, this is one of these new age gimmicks, and I went along with it just because I wanted to hang out with her.
Right.
And
yeah.
So she said, "Try it. Why don't you try it?" And I said, "Okay." So she said, "Write down some question or something's on your mind." So I wrote something down that I really didn't really care about. I was kind of just goofing around.
Sure.
I was being a smart aleck.
Oh no, I can't believe
that.
Can
you imagine? And I thought that was the way to get girls when I was 19. Now I've learned better since. But
that's so, another show, Paul. We're not going there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's a number of shows. But anyway, I wrote down something and I tossed the coin 6 times and I'm kind of just making fun of the whole thing. Well, it completely ignored my question. It gave me hexagram number 4, which is called Youthful Folly. The student lacks respect for the teacher. That was the theme of the reading, right?
Uh-huh.
I thought, wait a minute. Let me try that again. Now, my intent was different the second time. The first time I was making fun of it, it made fun of me.
Uh-huh.
The next time I thought, well, I'm going to test this a little bit.
Right.
So I still didn't have a serious question, but I cast the coins and it came back and with a reading that amounted to questioning the sincerity of the seeker. For my second reading.
Oh.
And I thought, oh my God, I'm testing it, it's testing me. Whatever I put out, this thing is like a mirror.
Yeah.
And that's when I had an aha moment and I realized, oh, maybe that's what it's supposed to be instead of a fortune-telling game or something
exactly.
like that. And so I got really interested in it and I bought that book. And well, that day, I lost the girl, but I fell in love with the I Ching. At the age of 19. So that was my first major fascination
wow.
in my young adult life. And then 3 years later, I got involved with computer software.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 1972.
Right.
And nobody knew what software was. Apple didn't exist for another 5 years. But I was fascinated by the whole concept of software and the idea that you could write code or somebody could write code and create an interactive experience. And so I got a job as a secretary in a computer center because I could type.
Right.
I was a college dropout. I didn't have any credentials. I didn't know how to write computer programs, but I was just fascinated by the phenomenon of it. And so I was the secretary to the director of the computer center, one of his jobs was to sell software that they made
sure.
to this research institute. It was a nonprofit. And so then I started taking his calls as part of my job, and then I started closing the deals, and that's how I catapulted myself into a career as a software marketing specialist. Mm. Now, it was easy to be a software marketing specialist in 1975 because there were no software marketing anything. Yeah, you know, there was no classes, nothing.
Right.
So I launched my career as a software marketing specialist in 1975. And actually, I worked for OMSI. OMSI used to have a computer center.
Right.
And then I went into the corporate. I was always an entrepreneurial guy, though. Yeah. I was always kind of the hired gun for for engineers who had a brilliant idea related to software or computers. And I did pretty well.
Absolutely.
By the end of the 80s, I was making a lot of money. I was the vice president of marketing for a substantial high-tech company and had a really strong career path going. But I was very unhappy. And I found myself using the I Ching more often than usual. In fact, bringing it to work in order to just maintain my sanity.
Right.
And one day at work, and we were a Macintosh shop. This is 1986, 87. Mm-hmm. One day at work, I thought, gosh, I wish I could do this on using my computer. And a light bulb went off.
Aha!
That was the intersection between two fascinations. My fascination with the I Ching and my fascination with software, both of which went back 15 to 20 years previous.
Right.
And at that moment, I thought, oh, maybe there's an intersection here. And I took all of my life savings, hired a programmer and an artist, and created what turned out to be one of the first multimedia titles.
Right.
And this was still 4 years before CD-ROMs even existed.
Right.
But it was on
that.
Multiple floppies, you know, for the Macintosh. We called it Synchronicity, which is what you were referring to. It was the name of the software. And all of a sudden, I'm an entrepreneur. The accidental entrepreneur.
Yeah.
With the product that made no sense at all because there was no market for I Ching software in 1989. But it was a pure expression of love on my part, and I just had to do it. So I spent my entire life savings, which at that point was about $50,000, on the development of it. I had to write my own version of the I Ching because I didn't have any rights. That's how I became an author. Just changed my life. And that company was not bound to prosper because it was too far ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 13 years, I basically starved half the time. I wasn't able to pay myself. But I kept it together, and I was a single father. And then CD-ROMs came around, and I added tarot, do-it-yourself tarot card readings in a very authentic way because people pick their own cards off as if they're fanned out across the tabletop. And then we added astrology. And then I got the deal for the AOL Horoscopes franchise, and then I got the deal for the Yahoo Horoscopes franchise. We were providing all of the astrology and divination for AOL and Yahoo in the early, mid-2000s, which catapulted us into the stratosphere traffic-wise. And all of a sudden, I had a super valuable company on my hands. I had no exit strategy, never thought I Ching software, whatever amount it
is. Right.
I just wanted to make a living doing something I thought was cool. I never even imagined paying off my mortgage.
Right.
Let alone becoming a millionaire.
Exactly.
And we started to be pursued by the big media companies. Disney came up. Barnes & Noble wanted to acquire us.
Right.
And I just told them all to go away because I'd finally make money.
Right.
You know, we were making a lot of money. In 2004, we were made, probably made $1 million in profits. So, you know, I said, no, I'm fine. And then I started thinking, well, what would I do? And if I did get my number, my number being what would it take for me not to have to work anymore?
Right.
And what would I do with myself?
Right.
And I thought, well, I'm a nonprofit guy.
Right.
And I've got this radio show. I'd already been doing the radio show for 20 years.
Sure.
Maybe 25. Yeah, close 23 years.
Right.
And I thought, I'll extend the radio show. You know, we'll syndicate it. Or we'll podcast it. They didn't have podcasts then, but we'll podcast it is eventually what I did. And I found out that as long as I didn't go commercial with it, I was allowed to do that, especially since I was producing the show on my own premises. So that gets us to here. So I had books in me. I had a lot of traveling I wanted to do. I wanted to extend the reach of Pathways. So I started a nonprofit called the Divination Foundation. And I write articles, and I have a really beautiful life full of creative freedom.
It's fantastic. Well, for all of our listeners, you know, you don't have to have it all figured out in advance. Sometimes life unfolds. And if you're curious, as Paul, I think you said, Paul is the curiosity and a philosopher and always asking why, what about this, what about that? And you just put one foot in front of the other and it's just really opened up.
You know what happens?
What?
Synchronicity.
Exactly. That was my next question.
All these amazing synchronicities.
Right. Well, tell me, because I was at one of your celebrations for the Chinese New Year and you had just come back from China and you were talking about how you have experienced synchronicity at an even deeper level. The synchronicity has been going on in your life, so maybe you could combine a little bit about what is synchronicity really, because it's related to the last story you just told, but then it really came home when you went to China, you experienced it even more, that then started to happen more and more, and you even wrote a book about it, so go on.
Synchronicity was defined by Carl Jung, the great psychologist, as meaningful coincidence.
Right.
So it's a coincidence that means something. And we've known this in human history. There have always been expressions like good things happen in threes, or the Native Americans would name a baby after a thunderstorm that just happened, or whatever. These synchronistic events, these coincidences, they saw meaning in them. They were more in touch with the liminal world. They were more in touch with the deeper substratum of meaning in life. But synchronicity basically, and I wrote a book called Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, which is now coming out. A publisher's picking it up and they're calling it Intuitive Intelligence.
Ooh,
I
love
that. It'll be out in September. Intuitive Intelligence, and it'll be available from Amazon, etc. In fact, it might even be available for pre-purchase pretty soon. And in that book, I define synchronicity as the science of perfect timing. So in other words, synchronicity means there are no accidents.
Right.
Synchronicity means everything happens for a reason, even if you don't know what the reason is.
Right.
Synchronicity means that some coincidence is tipping you off to pay closer attention. So the last time I was in China, I was at a conference, and I was invited to give a talk on my book on intuitive intelligence, and to give a speech before the assembly. And at the last minute, I decided, you know, here I am near the Great Wall of China, which is the cradle of Taoism.
Right.
And I'm an I Ching author.
Exactly.
And the people in China don't even know what the I Ching is. It's been totally suppressed by the communists. Taoism has been totally suppressed by the communists.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to do a switcheroo, and I'm going to let the synchronistic fact that I'm in the cradle of the I Ching inspired me to talk about the I Ching. So I talked about the I Ching, and I gave them the Jungian understanding of it. I said, this is not superstition, this is not fortune telling. This is a tool to stimulate your intuition to think outside the box around problems that logic can't handle. And it's like you said, you can't logically figure out the way the wind's gonna blow.
Exactly.
And I said, and I used this tool to become a huge business success. Now, of course, that perks them up.
Sure.
The Chinese are so materialistic, it's unbelievable. They're so out of touch with their own spiritual treasures.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was a beautiful thing. And I got a standing ovation.
Wow.
And that led to somebody introducing me to a publisher in Beijing who not only wanted to publish my I Ching, but they wanted to publish my Great Decisions book. Mm-hmm. They wanted to publish, they were just so moved by my, and you know, they were moved by the story of how I discovered the I Ching when I was 19.
Exactly.
Now here I am, 60-something,
right.
I'm in China, and I'm telling the story, and these guys are thinking, wow, this is not some Westerner who's trying to raid our cultural heritage
exactly.
for profit.
Yeah.
This is somebody who's lived this.
Yeah.
And I have, since I was 19, I've studied it inside out. I've written a version. We have an app out called the Visionary I Ching that I'm very proud of. It's doing pretty well in the Apple Store and the Google Store. Anyway, so a publishing deal came out of that, and I now have a version of the I Ching published in Mandarin. And it just came out a couple months ago in China. And I'm very proud of that, even though I can't read it, and I don't know if they're going to do a good job with it.
Right. But it's such an interesting piece of how revealing a culture to itself in a way that they could never do it on their own.
That's
and
right.
They were at the perfect place at the perfect time.
I know.
In order to do that, because where we are culturally on this planet right now, we talk about cultural evolution. So these lessons that you've learned on this lifetime of seeking happiness through personal development has led you to almost like a recipe for success and fulfillment. How would you describe that to people? Just let life happen and it unfolds?
You know, I think the pursuit of happiness can be a cause of suffering. And mm-hmm. I have found it to be a more fulfilling pursuit to go for meaning or mm-hmm. wisdom.
Right.
Or understanding rather than happiness. Kind of reminds me of something I read in a relationship book or heard somebody say on YouTube where they said, you know, if you want to have a great relationship, don't keep trying to love each other. Try to understand each other.
Right, exactly.
And I thought, God, that makes so much sense, because if you love somebody or something you don't understand, how meaningful is that?
Exactly. Well,
you know,
that is a beautiful,
that's a fantasy-based
yes.
thing. So I have learned that meaning is the pathway to happiness.
Yes. Well, you definitely have a life rich in meaning, which brings us to this 35 years that you've been doing this amazing show called Pathways. And I just wonder, are there any specific special moments that have really stood out for you as you reflect on all the interesting people you've had the pleasure to interview?
Oh, there's been so many, you know, and I've done 700 interviews or something like that over the span of time, and or 1,000, I don't even know. And I've met so many incredible people in the process, like Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and John Gray, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, all kinds of just amazing authors and teachers and psychologists and activists. The theme of the show is personal development and cultural evolution, and I've normally had authors on. We get 2 books a week with press kits come in the door.
Sure.
And you know, we pick and choose. So it's very easy to get, everybody wants airtime.
Yeah.
But every once in a while I hear about somebody doing something really fantastic
right.
locally or something,
yeah.
and I'll go after them. Or I'll read a book, like yourself, for instance. Yeah.
Exactly.
Or I'll read a book and I'll say to Nayana, our producer, I'll say, hey, go find this person. This
yeah.
is a great book.
Right.
I'd like to give them some airtime and talk about this. This
Absolutely.
Is fascinating. I learned a lot from this.
Absolutely.
So basically, it's been a very self-indulgent thing for me, because I'm passionate about personal development and cultural evolution, and what can I do as a cultural change agent? And so being a Pathways host is one way that I can facilitate cultural change, because I bring on people that are smarter than me or who are doing very significant things
right.
in other areas of life, and I pick their brain and share it with an audience. It's just a great source of joy for me.
Oh yeah.
Otherwise I wouldn't be able to keep doing it for so long.
Absolutely. Right. It's
yeah.
like there's joy in, and you bring so much joy and awareness and conversation with other people who are listening to this call, this show. And I want you to realize that this future, you've got another milestone or two coming forward. What do you see happening with the show as you evolve towards that emergent future?
Well, you know, evolution means change. Things are always changing. And one of the things I've come to realize, and I wrote about this in my book, Intuitive Intelligence, change is my friend. Now, a lot of people think of change as a threatening thing because they want to hold on to what they've
right.
got and they're afraid of losing what they've got. But I like to think of change as my friend. Now, that goes right along with curiosity and evolution. So, Pathways, I mean, I want to stay with KBOO as long as we can, because it's an incredible resource for
Excellent.
The community.
Mm-hmm.
Community radio that's been around for 50 years, self-funded by the community. It's an amazing phenomenon, and I honor it, and I'm so honored to be a part of the KBOO family. So I want to just keep going with it, you know, until I die, because I learning is my passion. Meaning, discovering meaning is my passion,
mm-hmm.
and there's no end to it. So I hope that we could keep going, and it'll evolve, because the world's evolving and we're reflecting all the latest stuff. You know, we get all the cutting edge stuff.
Absolutely.
And have a chance to talk about it.
Well, I know we're getting close to the end of our time on the show, Paul. We should do more of these, actually. You're such a great host with your own authors and revolutionaries, but you have so much more to share with us. So can we make another date to do this down the road?
You know,
do we have to wait another 35 years for that to happen?
That's hilarious. I think, yeah, why not? Why not? Because you're right. There's so many things that we could talk about. There are a number of interviews of me about the I Ching, etc.
Right.
On divination.com. But yeah, let's do it again.
Right. Okay, well, I know that people are probably wondering, where can I go to get more information about all these amazing projects and tools that Paul is bringing forward? Where would you suggest people go?
Well, the website. The Divination Foundation is a tiny nonprofit that's funded by me. That does basically three things. It extends the reach of pathways and turns them into podcasts that you can go and listen to anytime you want. It also publishes my writings, including my three books. And everything we're doing is on the website divination.com. So that's kind of our storefront.
Right.
DIVINATION.com. And so that's the place to go.
All right. Well, for those of you who have tuned in late, this is Renee Beth Poindexter, not only sitting in for Paul O'Brien, but actually interviewing Paul O'Brien, who we have been celebrating 35 years of his work as a host for the Pathways show. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into the Pathways interview program, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO FM, Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. This is Renee Beth reminding you to tell your friends about this show, Pathways, and its podcast, the interview program dedicated to personal development and cultural evolution. Thanks so much for tuning in and for being a part of it.
Thank you, Renee.